Well, if you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, the teenagers are out. Some for discipleship are out. We started last week in our series on the Holy Spirit about spiritual gifts. And so we were able to cover the gifts that are mentioned in Romans chapter 12. And tonight we'll be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but I want us for reference to go ahead and read those same verses. And while you're turning there, let me just mention a few things. We have several trips lined up for the Best Years Club, and a few of those are open to other people in our church as well. Now, the Best Years Club is technically 55 years of age and older. We have an Oregon coast trip, and that's June the 10th through the 13th. We've got 21 signed up for it already. We'll just go along the coast and stop at first at Tillamook. Then we'll go down a little further, and then we'll stop and then go down to probably Brookings and come up and maybe see the elk there near the coast. And then our last night would be in Eugene, and then we'd make our way the next day. Also, the Mount Hood Railway is coming up. We don't have a date for that, but we've got 35 signed up for that. The Alaskan Cruise, we got room for 10 more couples or singles sharing a room. We have 10 more rooms available in what we have reserved. And so if you're interested, that's September the 14th through the 21st, a Saturday through a Saturday. And then we have Sunday morning services on the ship. And so if you're interested in that, you can get details. Also, the trip to Leavenworth. We don't have the date. Yeah, we do have the dates. That's in August.
August 13th.
13th through the 15th. It's three nights. So is it the 10th through the 13th? What? Leave on the 13th, come back on the 16th. Three nights in Leavenworth, and that's watching two of the dramas, outdoor theater. That is The Sound of Music and Beauty and the Beast. And so looking forward to seeing that. We have a few signed up for Israel trip 2025. I think something about the war over there is going to determine whether or not we get to go. So we're just checking out interest right now. And then a missions trip to Honduras. I met a missionary last week and his wife in Victorville, California. And I was greatly impressed with the work he's got in Honduras. And I want to go see it. He's got multiple buildings. And he can take 20 or 30 people who want to go. It's probably going to be about $1,000 per couple for $1,000 per person for the flight, which is the most expensive, about $650. And then maybe $250 to $300 for food, and that's all it will cost. And so think about that if you've ever wanted to go on a missions trip. Honduras is one of the cheapest ones you can go to other than Mexico. Also, that's all of them. So if you found Romans chapter 12, if you will stand, and let's look at the few verses here. In Romans chapter 12, we are starting at verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now, if you will, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're starting in verse 8 and reading down through verse 10. And the Bible says, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the works of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. And then finally we go down to verse 28. And the Bible says, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And we'll stop right there. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts. Oh, how we need your presence as we speak about you and teach about you. We need your presence. I pray that you'd help the Word of God speak with great authority. I pray that we'd receive it as it is indeed the Word of God. And Lord, let it be applied to our life. And Lord, as we look at these spiritual gifts, help us to analyze what our gifts might be and how we might effectively use those for the cause of Christ in the context of the local church. So help us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. So as we look at this passage of Scripture, we are coming down to the different ones that are listed starting in verse 8 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And the Bible says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, the word of wisdom. Now it's interesting, this word of wisdom indicates one of the spiritual gifts, and the gift describes someone who can understand and speak forth biblical truth in a way that is skillfully presented and skillfully applied. So in other words, it's someone who has that ability to teach spiritual truth, and it finds a home in your heart. It's not just information. Now, no doubt, if you've been to church and different churches, different Sunday school classes, different situations, sometimes you've heard preaching or you've heard teaching, and it's been good information, but that seems to be all it was, maybe it's information. And then sometimes you'll hear preaching and teaching, and it's not just information, it connects with you. The Holy Spirit of God uses it to speak to your heart. Well, that's a particular gift. That is not just because somebody has, you know, great abilities. It is a spiritual gift, and that's the gift of wisdom, the word of wisdom, being able to speak in a way that takes God's truth and makes it so simple you understand it and then is able to give application. And so you receive it. You can put it to work. It's the difference between having some food with very complex carbohydrates that you eat, but it's going to take many, many hours for that to digest and you get any help from that. Or you get certain types of food that you eat it and automatically it starts helping. It's got some very simple carbohydrates in it. You get energy, you get a pep in your step, and you start recovering and you have energy to do some things. And so that's the difference. That word of wisdom is that ability for the Holy Spirit of God to use a man, a woman, maybe a woman's teaching other ladies or such, or teaching children, and she teaches in such a way that it connects to a heart. And oh, that's what we need in God's house. That's what we need in preaching and teaching. It's not information. Information is a wonderful thing, but it never changes lives. That's called knowledge. And the Apostle Paul says, knowledge puffeth up. If we're not careful, we tend to impress people by what we know. But understand this, God's never impressed by what we know. God's impressed by what we apply. It's what we apply in our life. So the truth isn't to fill our head, it's to fill our heart. It's to fill our lives. And so helping people understand God's truth in a very simple way is a spiritual gift called the word of wisdom. You listen to them and they're wise. And there again, not just because they know facts, but because what they know, you listen to it and you say, they understand that. Many years ago, I was at a conference and heard a guy for the first time preach on the Holy Spirit. Now, I'd already been to Bible college, so I knew about the Holy Spirit. I knew, I went through theology. I had to write papers on the Holy Spirit. I knew about the Holy Spirit. But then I heard this preacher preach on the Holy Spirit, and I thought, wait a minute. He knows him. I knew about him, but he knew him. And I thought, that's what I want in my life. I want to know the Holy Spirit. I want to know the Word of God. I want to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, the Apostle Paul says, and to know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto thing. He counted all things but loss for the ability to know Christ. And all that our hearts would have that hunger, and the Holy Spirit of God would put it there and then give us that ability to share it. That's the word of wisdom. And then secondly, we have the word of knowledge. It goes on, and to another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Now, that's interesting. This is speaking of a gift that involves understanding a truth with an insight that only comes by revelation of God. Those with the gift of knowledge understand deep things of God and the mysteries of His Word. Now, let me just stop and say right here that when we talk about the mysteries of God's Word, we're not talking about someone who's finding truth between the lines. That's a terrible misjustice to the Word of God. I love what the Apostle Paul says. We have not handled the Word of God deceitfully. I'm not trying to preach or teach something to you that you can't find in the Bible yourself. So the word of knowledge is not finding something secret. It's finding it in the written text. So it's black and white. It's truth. And it can be seen by you. It can be seen by me. And sometimes somebody shows it to you. Well, do you know what this verse says? And you look, no, I didn't know that. I didn't know that verse. I didn't know that applied. And so that is the word of knowledge. It's the ability of the Holy Spirit to take passages in the Word of God and sort of do a word study on those. There's many commentaries like that, Thompson Chain Bible, many other studies that will recognize maybe the first time a truth is mentioned, and then it will farm you over to the next time and then the next time, and it will just go through the Bible. And if you ever want to study a truth, you want to study what it says in the whole Bible. And so that's the ability to be able to discern that and understand that. So I want us to understand deep things of God are not something that I know that nobody else knows, but you got to come to me so you can get it. No, that's creating a fellowship for man. And nowhere in Scripture is that promoted. Paul says this, be ye followers together of me as I am of Christ. He's very clear that the motive is not to follow Paul, it's to follow Christ. And so we have to make sure that we're using the Word of God, not deceitfully, not trying to show you something that doesn't exist. I've had people say, well, you know, this is what the Bible says about this, and they'll tell me what they believe. And I'll say, well, that's a very interesting idea, but what you just said is not clearly taught in the Bible. We do never have to apologize when we stand on the Word of God. Amen? Well, that's weak, but amen? Amen. Amen. When we stand on the Word of God, we don't have to apologize because what it says to me, it says to you. The Word of God is of no private interpretation. But if you listen to someone teach or preach the Word of God and you think, well, that's interesting what they're saying, but I just don't see it. I mean, they quoted verses, they pointed to verses, but I still can't find out where they got that in those verses. Never be led by any spiritual teacher, preacher, anyone else that's trying to show you a truth you cannot plainly see for yourself. Now, they may have to show it to you. They may have to point it out. But still, you ought to be able to see it very clearly in black and white. And if you'll do that, you're never going to get far from the whole truth of the Word of God. But when you start following man-made teachings that has a teaching but is not backing it up with Scripture so you can plainly see it. Just scratch that truth off your list. Or very least, put a question mark beside it and say, interesting idea, but not truth as it is. I think as spiritual leaders, we always have to be very careful to distinguish between this is what I believe it's saying versus this is what it's saying. If I can say this is what it's saying, not only should I see it clearly, but you should see it clearly too. If I say this is what I think it is, then I have told you I do not think that everyone sees that clearly. And so you take it with a grain of salt and study it on your own and see what you come up with. I think we have to be very, very honest with the Word of God and not use the Word of God deceitfully. Now, what's interesting about this particular gift, the word of knowledge, is because you recall that the Apostle Paul in his epistles is writing different churches, and almost in every single case, he's dealing with a false doctrine called Gnosticism. Gnosticism. So Gnosticism is simply this. It is spiritual knowledge that is revealed in sources other than God's Word. That's what it is. So, in other words, it was like, I am a superior Christian because I have knowledge you don't have. And Gnostics believe that knowledge passed down from God to the angels to so-and-so, to so-and-so, and so-and-so, and finally it came to them. It's called secret knowledge that made people super Christians. And the Apostle Paul said, no such thing. No such thing. You see, the Bible was written in Koine Greek, which is common Greek. Why was it done that way? So that the common man could understand the truths of God's Word. And when a spiritual truth is so complicated you can't understand it, put a question mark by that teaching. Because God's truth ought to be very clearly shared. And that's the word of wisdom. So you may be able to skillfully apply it to situations in life, and you may be able to apply it with discernment. But keep in mind, it is still something that anyone who studies God's word can get. Okay, in verse 9, we have the spiritual gift of faith to another faith. By the same Spirit. Now, the Bible says God hath given to all men a measure of faith. So we know that God has given faith. We have faith to trust Christ. The just shall live by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. We are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. So faith is something that every Christian has, or every Christian invests in God. But the spiritual gift of faith is that ability to believe God and encourage others to do the same thing. You ever had a Christian and you're dealing with a problem in your life, a situation in your life? Maybe it's a physical situation. Maybe it's a job situation. Maybe it's a relational situation. And you got a problem that's come into your life. And then you have a Christian comes up to you and says, you know what? It's going to be just fine. God's got this. It's going to be fine. God's got this. If I was you, I wouldn't worry a bit about it. God's in charge. He loves you. You're His child. It's going to be great. Now, how do you feel when you hear that? You go away saying, wow, God's got this. That's wonderful. It's going to be just fine. I'm not going to worry anymore. Oh, I was worried. I'm so glad they told me that. You know what that's a gift of faith. It's ability to believe God and just know that God some way, somehow, is going to do it. Boy, I would just say that many years ago, traveling here to start a church, God had to give me that. And I had that ability to just trust Him. And I knew that whatever I lacked, God had plenty of. And I still share that with Christians today. Whatever you lack, God has plenty of. Well, I don't have the intellect to do that. I don't have the gifts to do that. I don't have the resources to do that. Yeah, but God does. You're going to be just fine. God's going to take care of this. I remember when I think I mentioned last week, when we were talking about the building we're going to build, and Brother Jeremy mentioned, you know, we need to have some money before. And I said, well, how much? He said, $2 million. I said, oh. I said, you know, God's got that. If we need that much to get started, God's got that. And he said, well, it could take several years. I said, no, I think by next year we'll have that. What? $2 million? How's that going to happen? I don't know. I have no clue how it's going to happen. I just know that God can do the impossible. And you know what? That next September was our 30-year anniversary. In that month, we just took in our $2 millionth on this project. Wow. Isn't that an amazing God we serve? Yeah. He can do things. He can do the impossible. Now, so I believe God. You say, well, yeah, but it's because you've seen God do things in the past so many times. Let me just tell you this. It helps, but that's not all the answer. Because here's what you find. Every time God has you take a step of faith, it's a bigger one than the last step. If he only had you take the same amount of steps, you'd be, God's got this, it's no problem, I'm not going to worry, I don't even have to pray about this, God's got it, you know, because it would be the same step of faith. But what happens is every time God has you make a step of faith, it's always bigger than you've ever made before. I remember when I was trying to raise many years ago $129,000 so we could buy this property. Oh, by the way, I didn't try to raise $129,000 because I didn't have that much faith. But I put $2,000 down on the property and I told them we'd come up with $38,000 in 4 months, which was equivalent to a whole year's income for our church back then. So it still took a lot of faith. I had no faith that we could raise $129,000 in 4 months. But I had faith that some way, somehow, we could raise $38,000 in 4 months. And then I got to raise $2 million. I'm just saying, every time you take a step of faith, it's always bigger. It's always bigger. And it's always scary. I'm preaching missions conference and different things around the country at this stage in my life when I'm away from here. And I always tell people, here's what I've told our people all these years. If it's not scary, it's not faith. If it doesn't scare you, it's not faith, because you can figure that out. But when God lays something on your heart that you have no ability to humanly do, that's when faith comes in. And now it's like, God, if you don't get involved, I'm going to fall flat on my face. God, if you don't get involved, this ain't going to happen. So a spiritual gift of faith. Now, I'm guessing here tonight in this crowd, there are several of you that could say, honestly, Pastor, I got that gift. Now, it doesn't mean you're trusting God for $2 million, but you're trusting God for something that's still outside your reach. And you know what? The next time you exercise faith, it's still going to be something outside your reach. That's why we have to trust God. The just shall live by faith. Let me go say one more thing and then I'll move on from faith. The Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Not improbable, but impossible to please God. Please God. So God takes great joy in faith. What is faith? Faith is trusting and depending upon God. A lot of husbands, a lot of us fathers, used to play this game when our kids were little. We'd put them up on something and we'd say, "Jump to Daddy." I'm so glad we don't play that game as adults. "Jump to Daddy." And they would be scared. "Come on, jump to Daddy. Jump." And they'd go, "Oh." And you'd catch them and they'd laugh and you'd hold them up in the air. And then you'd put them back and you'd say, "Now, jump to Daddy." And you'd take a step back. "Whoa, no." And then finally, "Come on, jump to Daddy." And you know what? It just thrilled your heart because that child trusted you. And you taught them they can trust their daddy. They can trust their father to catch them. But you know, God is the same way with us. God's the exact same way with us. He wants to say, "Jump to Daddy." In every area of our life, He wants us to exercise faith. So God is constantly giving us situations that stretch our faith. Why? Because God is pleased every time a child of His depends on Him. So He stretches our faith and stretches our faith. I think one of the biggest reasons we have missions conference is not to put missionaries around the world, but to stretch the faith of God's people. And we trust Him for a certain amount that we're giving above our tithes and offerings to worldwide missions. And it just stretches us more, so we have to depend on God. And that's a wonderful thing. The gift of faith. It may be that you have that tonight. And if you do, exercise that, because it will grow and grow as you stretch it. And then the gift of healing in verse 9. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Now, although God still heals today, and while there's no biblical reason that God could not empower an individual with spiritual gifts of healing today, God miraculously healing people directly through the spiritual gifting of an individual seems to have primarily been limited to the ministry of the apostles. Remember, God gifted the apostles to go and lay hands on people and them to be immediately healed. In fact, you'll read in the book of Acts that even the apostle Peter had like a handkerchief, and he passed that out. And at one time, just the shadow of an apostle healed those that were sick. Now, I'm saying that's not happening today. If it was, there ought to be somebody walking the halls of hospitals. That's not happening today. And let me just tell you, for churches that would assume that those things are happening in their churches, may I say that most sick people are not well enough to get themselves to church. You need to go to them. And so if you have that gift, you ought to be walking the hall. I'd suggest first the emergency room, secondly the intensive care units. Go to the cancer ward. That'd be a good place. Go to Dornbecker. Oh, that'd be a wonderful place if you've got that gift of healing. What a blessing that would be to walk and just see all those kids dealing with leukemia and all this thing just whole. But wait a minute. I don't think that's ever happened. I don't think anyone who's ever said, "I have that gift," has ever gone to a hospital where people need it the most. So what I'm saying, then, what is the gift of healing? The gift of healing was that supernatural gift, but now it's dealing with people who can pray and just believe some way, somehow, God's got that. So it's joined in with faith, and it deals with people who are sick. I don't think I have that gift. But there have been times in my life where I've had a member say that they've been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, lymphoma. very deadly. And ask if we could pray for him. And of course, we're glad to. The deacons would and pastors would anoint him with oil and pray for him. And I remember praying for a lady about 17 years ago who was given about 6 months to live. And we prayed for her, and I said, you know, I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet, but I'm just telling you, in my spirit, I just feel like you're going to be just fine. You're going to be okay. No one's ever lived over 6 or 7 years. That was 17 years ago. She's doing fine today. There was a lady in our church, Blanca Skaggs, who had tumors all throughout her body. We anointed her with oil. We prayed for her. Now, I had no impression. I'm not a prophet, the son of a prophet. But I just believed some way, somehow, she was going to be okay. And I told her. About 2 months later, she got tested again for her cancer. They had tumors all over her body. Malignant tumors. And she came back and said, Pastor, they can't find any. They can't find any. Now, I'm not a healer. I tell you, God is still a healer, and God can heal us. And I don't know if that's anything even close to the gift of healing. I wouldn't suggest that at all. But I would suggest that you and I ought to exercise faith and believe that God can. Believe that God can. I don't know if God will, but I always know God can. God can. I do know that. And I just believe if we would just have more faith in believing He can, I don't think our faith forces God to act. I don't believe that. But I do believe God likes His children to trust Him, to trust Him. So we have the gift of faith. And then a faith healing, and then miraculous powers, or as it says, miracles in verse 10. To another, the working of miracles. Now, a miracle by its nature is not something that's found commonplace. So, even if you had the gifts of miracles, it's not like you're going to see miracle, 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 miracle. No, by its very definition, a miracle is something that would happen very, very rarely. Very, very rarely. Miraculous powers, also known the working of miracles. Another temporary sign, gift, that performed supernatural events that could only be attributed to the power of God. As in Acts chapter 2, verse 22, the gift was exhibited by the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 19, verses 11 through 12. Remember Eutychus, Paul's preaching at night. He's on the second or third story window. He falls over. He dies. Paul goes over, prays over him. He gets up. He opens his eyes. He's alive. He gets him up. And so we see that miraculous power. Now, if we're not careful, it is usually surrounded by deceptive and erroneous doctrine. And Jesus said that many would come in His name and deceive others. For instance, in Matthew chapter 7, many shall say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done miracles and many wonderful things? And Jesus will say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. He isn't saying, I used to know you. He said, no, I've never known you. Whenever the miraculous is involved, it's always a place for charlatans and fakes to shine. Be very, very careful about following anyone who claims to have a connection with God that you could never have. That's not true. Any preacher, any teacher, any missionary, any evangelist is just a man who deals with the same nature you do. He's just presenting God's word in faith. But don't believe that he can do miraculous stuff. No, God can do miraculous stuff. So the thing is, if someone accredits God with the miraculous, I'm all for that. If someone wants to say, I've got that gift, I'm not for that. Because anything given by God ought to bring him glory, not man glory. Whether it's a sermon, whether it's a lesson, whether it's whatever it is that God would use us as flesh to accomplish, it is not because of us. It is simply we are a vessel through whom God can flow. The glory goes to him, never to ourselves. So miraculous powers. And then discerning of spirits in verse 10. To another working of miracles, to another, prophecy. We're not lingering on that because, remember, prophecy was also mentioned in Romans chapter 12. So that's why we're not dealing with that one. It's a repeated gift. To another, discerning of spirits. Now, discerning of spirits is that a unique ability to determine the true message from God versus a message from the deceiver, Satan, whose methods include purveying deceptive and erroneous doctrine. Remember, even the devil himself comes as an angel of light, right? He doesn't come as a red horn and a pitchfork. No. He comes like he's one of God's. And in fact, when you look in the book of Revelation, you're going to see Jesus is called the Lamb, but you're going to find that the devil looks like a lamb with horns. Wait a minute. He's the devil in sheep's clothing. That's not right. That's not Jesus. That's the devil. The devil doesn't want to come looking like himself. He knows you wouldn't follow him. He wants to come like he's spiritually enlightened somehow. And that is why that cults who do not believe in orthodox Christianity, biblical Christianity, always adopt some Bible truth and then mix it with error. Always adopt some Bible truth and then mix it with error. And if it has any error in it, it's not biblical truth. And so we have to have that ability to discern the spirits, know what's of God and what's not of God. How do you do that? Well, we're fortunate. We got a book. And if we'll live in this book, you'll be amazed how you will know right from wrong, good from evil, what God has said and what God has not said. Sometimes people say, well, you know, God's word says da, 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 da. I said, no, it doesn't. How do you know? Well, you read it enough times and I can't tell you chapter and verse. I just know it's not in here. Because that doesn't ring true. What you just said is not, no, that's not scripture. Well, yeah, it is. Okay, show me chapter and verse. I may be wrong. Show it to me. But I've not found it. I've read it over 100 times through, maybe more, but I'm sure more, but I haven't found it, so show it to me. And then if it's in God's word, I'll believe it. I'll adjust my thinking. Discern of spirits. The gift of discerning spirits is given to the church to protect it from such as these. And I do believe that every pastor has to have that discernment because he is the leader of the flock. And he's got to know when a wolf has a sheepskin over its back and is creeping in. He's got to know that. And how does he know that? Because he hears someone talk and it doesn't sound true. And his spirit doesn't bear witness with that spirit. Remember the Bible says our spirits will bear witness with one another that we are the children of God. That's how you know you're with other Christians, because you've sensed that. That's a Christian. That's a believer. But then you also sense when someone's all talk. And it's, the talk sounds good, but it doesn't ring true. That's a discernment of spirits. Remember, the Bible says, try the spirits, whether they be of God or not. And so we've got to have that. That's a spiritual gift. And it may be that some of you have that gift and you've never realized it. For instance, someone might say, you know, if I was you, I'd put all my money in this stock. And you're thinking, I wouldn't. You know, that's not a spiritual suggestion, but there's just the first thought is, no, that's not right. Or someone says, you know, I really believe that you ought to just sell everything you have and put it in Bitcoin. And you say, well, that could be. But if I was you, I'd only spend money you don't mind losing. It may grow, it may not grow. It is growing right now. I'm still not going to sell all I have and put in Bitcoin. So you have to use some discernment. What is it? And you realize God gives that in different areas of life. The ability to just know that that's not right. Well, if that was my child, here's what I'd do. Oh, thank goodness he's not. That's not true. That's not right. That's not how you deal with a child. Well, I'd tell them who's boss and I'd show them and I'd... No, that's not helping. That's not helping them. That's hurting them. Okay. And let's see, I've got... I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 more, and we don't have time. So, next Wednesday night, and by the way, let me just share them with you. Speaking in tongues. Next week, I'm going to teach you what that means, and I'm going to show you from the Bible. I'm just going to show you from the Bible what it says. Okay, then you make up your own mind, but I'll show you what it says. Interpretation of tongues. We'll look at that. Helps. That's a new one. And then in verse 28, governments is one we haven't covered. So we have those four to cover, and we're going to cover those next Wednesday. And I'm so thankful we took a break here because I want to spend a little time on the speaking in tongues and what it meant and what God did. And I've written quite a bit of notes to share those things, so we'll do that next week. I hope that as we go over these teachings on the Holy Spirit, it is helping you in your relationship with God. It's helping you to trust the Holy Spirit, depend upon the Holy Spirit. Let Him guide you in so many different areas of your life. And now as we talk about spiritual gifts, God wants us to find that gift and use that gift. So think about practical ways in your arena of influence where God has put you. Think of practical ways that you can use your influence for the glory of God. That's what God wants. That's what God wants of me. That's what God wants from you. I've shared some personal illustrations of different things. But let me just tell you, if you've been a Christian very long, you could share personal illustrations of how God has used you, how the Holy Spirit has used your spiritual gift. If you just thought about it for a minute, every one of you could say, well, I remember God, the Holy Spirit helped me in this. Or, yeah, I remember the Holy Spirit helped me do this and helped me give faith to someone. I just believed God and I said something and it helped them. So I'm saying God is going to use each and every one of us. Not preacher flesh, not missionary flesh, just flesh. That's all we are. And if we're yielded to the Holy Spirit, He will use us. So let's let the Holy Spirit of God use us. Our homes will be helped by it. Our lives will be helped by it. Those in our arena of influence will be helped by it. And we'll be a blessing, and we will be blessed. So let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heads are bowed, and eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, oh, how we need your Holy Spirit working in our hearts and our lives. And Lord, you know without your Holy Spirit's working, we're nothing. It's hard to have faith without the Holy Spirit encouraging us and prompting us and telling us we can trust the Lord. But we're so grateful we can. Lord, I pray you'll bless these good people and those who are watching online. Lord, help us to be a people that exercise these spiritual gifts for your glory, your honor. It's not for us. It's not about us. And Lord, I believe we have a church full of good people, and not a single one of them feels like it's about them. It's all about Jesus. So Heavenly Father, please help us now and help the Word of God find a home in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. The piano's playing. Why don't you talk to the Lord about what He's doing in your life? God bless you. God bless you. I trust this is a help, and let's have a quick word of prayer. We'll be dismissed. Father, again, we thank you for this time we've had together. Thank you for these good, good people, Lord. Lord, they're the cream of the crop. They love you, and that's why they're here tonight. So work in their lives. Bless them, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.